This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
First, we'll go through it all with you about the proposed college football super league presented by an institution called College Football or College Sports Tomorrow. And here's the shot. The CST wants to be the NFL, but there's a snowball chance in hell that the power brokers in college football are going to let that happen as it is envisioned. It's not because this is a bad idea. It's actually a very good idea. It's because it does not include some very key figures when we talk about college football and what it means. Namely, the commissioners of the four major leagues and the broadcast rights holders for those four major leagues, to say nothing of the college football playoff. But the Super League, as it was proposed by College Sports Tomorrow, is actually a decent enough idea, right? The bones of it were pretty simple. You were going to have permanent 70 teams in what was going to be the new FBS, and then a relegation system for 10, right? So you put the 70 in, or the 60 plus that we already know about from what was once the Power Five plus Notre Dame. And then you're going to have a relegation system where some teams get to go up into the Super League and some teams get to go down. The reason that College Sports Tomorrow came up with this was because they thought they would create a better institution, not just for name, image, and likeness, not just for salaries on those things, or helping create a union for the very transitive process that is being a player in college football, but also they could negotiate as one entity against the broadcasters. You already see where this is going, right? Now, why would you present this idea right now? Because it is very clear to all of us that the present model for FBS, notably Power Five schools in college football, is broken. It doesn't work. The NCAA is trying to hold together what isn't really their fault, right? Not at this point anyway, okay? So the structure for the 130 FBS teams and how we decide a national champion and who gets paid what, really out of the NCAA's purview, okay? The only money that the NCAA gets from television now is the basketball tournament, okay? That means that all this money that's being paid to the college football playoff, all $7.8 billion of it coming from ESPN, is going to those teams that compete in it and those conferences that compete in it, right? There is no incentive for them to share with the other teams that might be or might not be involved if they're not a part of this original agreement, right? Why today, though? Because we are in the middle of trying to find out what's going to happen with NCAA versus Alston, which at its conclusion could end with the conferences and the NCAA members owing billions in damages to players from past decades that were not allowed to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. So the only way to kind of get past this antitrust nightmare is to try to put in a good faith institution that takes into account past transgressions and tries not to make those same mistakes. But if you have the same model that you're using right now at the conclusion of this case, you're much more likely to have to pay these damages that could be, again, be in the billions. And that means that a lot of programs, a lot of athletic departments would have to file for bankruptcy and be insolvent. Nobody wants to see that. But you can also understand why the conferences themselves and the broadcast partners, more importantly, do not feel that is their problem. And they're right. It is not their problem. However, I think this is also, hey, look, you can't put this genie back in the bottle, okay? You can't put Pandora back in the box, because when the NCAA was sued by Oklahoma and Georgia in Supreme Court 1984, won that suit for the right to basically come up with their own terms for television deals when they were going to play on national television. Then you had other properties get involved. Notably, Chuck Ninus helped create College Football America, which was a negotiating partner for what would become the Big 12 and these new conferences that were really put together for the same reason that we have super conferences in the SEC and the Big 10, to increase its television value. The Southwest Conference dissolved to make room for the Big 12, and what was left went to the SEC. You remember the Southwest Conference used to feature a bunch of Texas teams, but at the time, it was more financially beneficial for Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Texas to all be in the same conference as opposed to Texas playing a Southwest Conference schedule with, say, A&M and Houston, rather than just put all those teams that they thought would draw revenue into the same conference. We get the Big 12 in 1995. We get competition in 1996. We still have that fallout because we saw Missouri, Nebraska, A&M, even Colorado all bolt from the Big 12 earlier in 2010s, right, to make room for this new Pac-12 that also ended up being dissolved because the Big 10 and the ACC and the Big 12 could offer better terms for individual programs and really left one of the most storied conferences ever without teams. Like, the Conference of Champions is no more. And now we're going to see UCLA, USC, Washington, Oregon play what are traditional Rose Bowl opponents, right? Every single week in the new Big Ten. Knowing all of that, I can understand why CST thought that they could act as what would be a go-between, an intermediary, a pass-through for the other teams, thinking that they would become the new NCAA or the new maid service, which is to handle the laundry and to make the bed. But as you could probably understand now, there is no incentive for the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, or the ACC to try to go in with a bunch of folks that aren't in their business every single day and don't do business with the broadcast partners, who I would add to you are the reason we get to watch television football, right? It's the reason why we have all these games on. Now, inside of all this, I do think that we're right to think that the current model is dead, but I also think that we're right to believe that a Super League is the best way to go. I'm going to point you to the formation of the Premier League, or as we might call it, the English Premier League, right? Which came from an idea from a television executive named Greg Dyke, who said out loud, look, people only want to see five soccer teams play. We don't care about the entire football league. We care about Liverpool. We care about Manchester United. We care about the Arsenal, right? He wanted to make an offer to the five biggest clubs in England that if you give me your rights to your home matches for the king's ransom at the time of $1 million annually, I can get you a good deal with ITV or the BBC, which were the two broadcasters for professional football in the UK. Now, what was interesting about that is it wasn't necessarily a deal that Greg Dyke could only make. It's one that, say, the BBC or the ITV could have made, but he was the first person to tell the teams, I think they're colluding against you. Why not deal with me, who's dealing above board? So he got to be the guy to help broker that deal to ITV, also added five other teams to complete what would be 10 teams. And eventually we get to the 20 and we get to the relegation system because, well, the football government wanted to be in lockstep with all of this. So we get a Premier League that has actually turned out to be an outstanding business venture for all involved. Those clubs increase in value. Their matches are played all over the world as opposed to just once a week or in that little space that they have during the UK. And now it is part of our lives to wake up at 6:30 in the morning, watch Man City and Liverpool, and then go straight to, say, Big Noon, right? And then go straight to the game. And we're on the couch from early in the morning to late in the evening, going through our different schedules for what football or what major sport is going to be on. I think that power brokers at the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Big 10 all know this, right? The thing that we're arguing about is the structure and how quickly we're going to get to this. And that's really difficult to put a finger on, right? As it is going, we continue to kick a can down the road, not knowing where the road ends, but also knowing that it's going to end. And at some point, we're going to have to make one more seismic shift in how we watch, view, and pay for college football at its top level. I will concede that 70 teams feels a lot like a lot. 60 teams also feels like a lot because you got 32 NFL teams, you got 30 Major League Baseball teams, you got 30 NBA franchises, right? I would cite hockey, but y'all know enough about me to know that ain't that, you know, nobody wants me to be talking about no NHL. So I'm going to leave that alone. All to say, I don't know that 30 teams is enough for college football because, well, frankly, we care about more than 30. But if you're really going to narrow it down and you had to pick out these teams, you pick teams from the Big Ten and the SEC and a few from the Big 12 and the ACC. And then the rest would more or less probably have to fight for scraps. And that's not a dig. It is to say there's a reason why Ohio State and Michigan are going to be on national television for their spring games. And Boise State is not. It's that simple, right? It's not personal. It's just business. And I think executives across the United States mean business in the Franklin Saint way. You know what I'm saying? They're not playing about their money, and I don't expect them to. However, I think that we're going to continue to see ideas like this Super League float or attempt to float and see what catches. I'm really going to watch Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti for what might happen next because among college football, they are the two most powerful administrators that we have in the sport. Full stop. If they want something to happen, chances are it's likely to get done. And I like that they are talking to each other about what needs to happen next. And they're also keeping their options open as much as they can. Last thing on this is we have rights that are already tied up, right? College football playoff went back to ESPN, $7.8 billion for the next few years, right? We have rights that are ending in 2030, 2031, 2033, 2034 for our four major conferences. So that feels like the next opportunity we might have to talk about, say, conference realignment in a real way. This while Clemson and Florida State are trying to badger the ACC into letting them out of this marriage license that they willfully signed of their own fruition because they would very much like to get their divorce on. But the contract is a contract. And if they don't want to let you out, you get to be married to them for as long as they would like to without till you pay the penalty, right? I know people feel some kind of way about the marriage analogy, but it's the one that works. It's the one that works and it's the one that we all understand. I'm curious to find out what happens next, specifically with teams like Oklahoma, Texas, Ohio State, Michigan, because I've seen how the sport can evolve in a very short amount of time, just in my lifetime.